Good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. It's so nice to see inside the auditorium here where it's nice and bright and all your bright smiles. I know outside it's a little bit gloomy looking out there, and I think Dave said at the beginning of his class this morning, he said this is kind of unusual weather, but I remember there's a fellow over in Colwell by the name of Faye Ivey. He has now passed and gone on to his reward, but I remember someone saying that to Faye Ivey one time. He said, "No, Richard, this is not unusual weather. This is unusual weather for Idaho." And he was a native, and he'd been around a long time, and so I think he really had a good grasp about, you know, when it comes to Idaho, it might be one way one day, and then all of a sudden it can change almost the opposite the next day. And so we live in a wonderful part of the country. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord today." You know, almost every day when you think about, you know, coming and worshiping God, it's a special day. But then there are some days where they seem to even be more special, and that's one for me today. I needed to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. I needed to be with people who are smiling and happy and people who love each other. It's always good to know that you have that kind of a resource to go to in terms of human beings and people who love God and love each other. And so to be here today is a good day. And so I was glad when they said, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." God deserves so much for us to worship Him and to praise Him. So, you know, we're in the season of where we're thinking about gifts, either of receiving gifts or getting gifts. And so gifts are something that's just kind of on our minds right now. So let me ask you this. What is the best gift you have ever received? Now, it seems like a pretty simple question, doesn't it? And when I wrote that question down, what is the best gift or the most precious gift you have ever received, I thought that that would be an easy one for me to answer, but I found that it was not an easy one for me to answer because, you know, I've lived a fairly long life, and over this time, I've received all kinds of gifts from people. And so I had to really stop and think, what is the greatest or the most precious or special gift that has ever been given to me? And I thought, does it have to do with financial things? Does it have to do with that kind of thing? And I have to tell you that it didn't have to do with any of those things. One of the most special gifts that was ever given to me is something that you can't pay for, something that you cannot buy. It's so valuable. Some of you, if you've been around here, have probably heard me talk about my father passing away. Dad passed away about 42 years ago. And I remember at that time I was like 25, maybe 26 years old, and I remember getting out of the morning service in Cedar Hill, Texas, and getting a phone call from my younger brother, and he says, "Jimmy," that's what he always called me. He goes, "Jimmy, they found Dad, and he's dead." And I absolutely broke my heart, and almost immediately I started just crying, almost uncontrollably, the loss of what I would consider to be not only my dad, but a very special friend to me. And I look forward to living my life with him and getting his advice and drawing from his wisdom. And now he is dead, and my heart was broken, and I cried, like I said, uncontrollably. And I went home, and the congregation found out about that. And within a half hour of time, those people came to my house, and they flooded my living room with their presence. And they really didn't say a whole lot of anything. They just sat with me and cried with me and hugged on me and told me that they loved me. You see, they gave me something very special. They gave me their time. And they gave me their hearts. And they gave me their compassion. And they gave me their encouragement. And because of that, that was such a valuable gift because you can't put price tags on those things. And though it's been 42 years ago, I still remember that time very well as a precious gift. Another gift that I received was just this year itself, where I found myself in a dark place in my life and a very sad time in my life, and I was hurting inside, and the elders found out about that, and they came over to my house. I didn't ask them to come over. It was not solicited. They just showed up at my house, and we sat on my back patio, and those men listened to me as I cried and as I shared some of the things that were going on in my life. And they loved me. They prayed for me, and they hugged on me, and they encouraged me. They gave me their time. They gave me their compassion. They gave me their friendship. They gave me something that you cannot put a price tag on. I know gifts come in a lot of different kinds of ways. I know gifts come sometimes in a monetary kind of thing, which is fine because those are oftentimes very good gifts, okay? But sometimes there are other gifts that are meaningful as well. And so as you think about that question, what is the greatest gift, the most precious gift that you have ever been given? You might call it the perfect gift. What would it be? Well, what makes a gift the right kind of gift? I mean, what is the right kind of gift? Well, depending on the person, you know, different people look at the best gift in various kinds of categories. For instance, for some people, they'll say, well, the best gift, the right kind of gift, is tied to something that is monetarily bought, is financially bought. I'm not saying that's a bad kind of gift, by the way. I've received some of those, and they've been wonderful. And so for some people, they look at the monetary value of a gift, and they say that is the gift, and that falls into that category of being the best. Others would say, well, no, the best gift is one that is connected to a need that needs to be met for a person. There needs to be a solution for that person. And so there is a need that is there and has been given to them, okay? That kind of gift is special because the most expensive gift may not meet a need. However, the most inexpensive gift may not meet that special need as well. And so there is that special need that is there that is met, and that makes it the best kind of gift. Another person might say, well, you know, the gift that is the right gift is one that is wrapped up with pure, unadulterated motive in the heart of the giver. Think about that for a second. Take, for instance, the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse was probably a huge gift. It was probably a valuable gift. It probably was an attractive kind of gift. But the Greeks, when they gave that to the city of Troy, they didn't give it because they had their interest at heart. They had their own interests at heart, and so their motives were the wrong kind of motive. Their motives were that of deception. So that would have been a bad gift as compared to another gift that a little girl gave to her daddy. As she was wrapping up this box, a fairly large box, with gold wrapping paper, the father becomes very upset with her because times were hard. You know, money was tight, and his little daughter was taking this huge box and placing gold wrapping around it, and it infuriated him. And he demonstrated that anger toward him. The little girl, she continued to wrap up the gift and went and placed it under the Christmas tree. Next morning, when they all got up to open their gifts, the little girl went over to the Christmas tree and took the gold-wrapped box and took and handed it to her dad. And her dad was embarrassed. He's embarrassed that he'd become so infuriated with his daughter for that gift, not knowing it was for him. And so he opened up the gift. And as he opened up the box, he found that it was empty. There was nothing in it. And now he's mad again, and he says to her, you know, you used expensive gold wrapping for this box, and the box is empty. A gift is a gift if there's something in it. And the little girl said, oh, Daddy, I blew kisses into the box, and they're just for you. And when you think about a thing like that, you know, that story, what that story says is that you might receive an empty box, but it's not the empty box that counts. It's the motive that went into that box. And by human expectations, when we look at things, sometimes we might put a monetary value on it being a gift. But what you find out is that gift of love that little girl gave to her dad was a gift that is incomparable. You can't put price tags on that kind of a motive. You can't put a price tag on that kind of love that was demonstrated to her daddy by that little girl. And I think that's the same for us. And so when you think of gifts, what is the right kind of gift? Can it be a monetary thing? Well, yeah, you know, a good gift can be a gift that has cost some money, so that's okay. Maybe it's a solution to a need that is there, and of course, that would be a great gift. Or if there is the right motive that's behind the gift, then that's definitely a good thing, right? But I think that when it comes down to the right gift, it's a gift that connects to a recipient's heart. Whether it has to do with money that is spent, or whether it has to do with a solution that is met, or maybe the motive behind the gift becomes something very special. The Bible that I use is Hugh Newcomb's Bible. Some of you know Hugh, some of you may not know, but Hugh was a longtime member of this congregation. And when he died, Hugh left me his Bible. And it has become a treasured possession. And I keep finding little notes in there and little things. And here is one that I found that, you know, this had to be a special gift. Dear Granddad, how are you? Hope you are doing well. I love you. She didn't sign her name. But let me ask you, do you think that was a precious gift to Hugh when he stepped in that pulpit and saw that note that was given to him? You ought to see the handwriting. It had to be a little girl. Precious gifts are things that reach the recipient's heart. Okay, so let me come back to that idea of being givers, okay, and talk to you about God's perfect gift, that which becomes the motivation behind all gift giving. God, you know, he corners the market on giving because he gave the perfect gift, and the perfect gift that he gave was Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, it surpasses all human expectations. And when you think about the elements, the three elements that I've just mentioned, when it comes to value or when it comes to meeting a purpose or a specific need, or when there's a right motive behind it, Jesus fills every one of those things. And that's why it goes beyond our human expectation when it comes to gifts. So think about Jesus as a perfect gift that God gave to us almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born and placed in that manger and grew to adulthood and would eventually give his life for us. In Jesus, the treasures of heaven have been given to the whole human race. I got thinking about Galatians 4 and verse 4. It says, in the fullness of time, when it was the most needed time, a specific time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why was he born? Why did he came into this world in order that he might live as an example to us, to teach us, but also then finally to give his life. And as was so eloquently spoken by Bud this morning as he centered our minds on the Lord's Supper and what Jesus did for us, we understand that we were not purchased by silver or gold or anything from the futility that is in us that we've inherited from our forefathers. But he says, but by the precious blood of Jesus, an unblemished lamb, the precious blood of Jesus has purchased us and continually is given to us as a gift that one cleanses us from all our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, listen, if you walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. He's talking about fellowship between us and God. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses you of all your sins. And so when you think about that treasure of heaven coming down to leave the glories of heaven, to come down to a world that is consumed with sinfulness, and to know that Jesus decided to come and live in that world, in that filthiness, and then to die for our sins, and then to use the words, as Bud mentioned to us, as he quoted from the scriptures, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We do that all the time. It's incredible. His gift is a gift that offers the right solution to our sin problem. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our condition. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you once formerly walked. That was our situation. But God, he offers the solution to our sin by sending his Son to bear the sins of the world. It's an incredible gift. Or it's a gift given not out of compulsion, but out of love. Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 5 and verse 8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, above those passages says we were ungodly, we were helpless. And then he adds sinners, going down, says, and we were the enemies of God. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We did not love God first. God loved us and paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. So it was not out of the compulsion of having to. It was out of a great love that he had for his creation. It's a gift given to restore our broken relationships, not only with our loved ones, not only with our friends, but most of all with our God. God, or through Jesus, reconciled us back to himself. He paid the price to redeem us back. We had broken the agreements. We had sinned. God purchased us back with his Son. Paul went on to say this. Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I think the passage that we looked at was his inexpressible gift. How do you describe the gift of Jesus Christ? It's almost an impossibility when you think about it. It's hard to put that kind of, to really understand it or to put it into words what Jesus did for us and how precious that gift was. Here's the interesting thing about that is Paul uses that as a motivator, as a motive for why we give or why we ought to give, which I thought was interesting. It begins in chapter 8, and in chapter 8, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he's telling them Listen, you need to abound in this grace also. The grace that he's talking about is that of financially giving. He goes, the Macedonians are the example. He says, they are very poor people, but even out of their poverty, they gave, begging us to participate in this, to share, to fellowship in this giving that was given to those who were in desperate need in Jerusalem because of a famine that was there. And it says that they begged to do so and that they gave so out of their poverty. And then he tells them why. Because they first gave themselves. They first gave themselves to God and to Jesus. And because of that, they were paying it forward, if you will, to give to those who were in need. And so Paul is using the Macedonians as a motivator. And it's a motivator that they would give intentionally. It was a motivator that they would not give by compulsion, but they would give cheerfully of their financial means. And if they need a reason to do so, he says, because of God's indescribable love, God's indescribable gift in his Son, Jesus. And that is what motivates us to give everything of ourselves to back to God that we possibly can. So here we are in the midst of this season of giving, as I mentioned to you. And so if this indescribable gift has been given to us, how do we give back? And I would submit to you that maybe for the remaining time that we have from now until Christmas, or near the end of the year, maybe we should be thinking about how can we give back? How can we give to God? Not just financially, but how can we give of ourselves a perfect gift? Well, the idea is to be the gift, to be the gift. And so what kind of gifts can you give? Well, let me just share with you a number of gifts that you can give, okay? Number one is make homemade decorations, snowflakes, popcorn strings, paper change, handprint ornaments with others and with your family. There's a wonderful family that has been visiting with us for several months now, the Bosleys, Don and Sharon Bosley and their little children, Luke and Stella. Sweet people, and we've been studying on Tuesdays for quite a while now, and last week we were over there studying, and I looked up, and hanging from their dining room light were a bunch of snowflakes, handmade snowflakes, and I thought that was so sweet, and I said, so what's this about, and Luke and Stella were quick to tell us that they had helped their mom make those snowflakes. What wonderful gifts that they gave to each other, that family time that is so precious like that, to do little things like that, like make snowflakes and popcorn strings and paper chains and that kind of things to put around, say, maybe the Christmas tree or on the chandeliers. Bake Christmas cookies and give it to others like your neighbors and make sure they're the good ones. So don't give me any old cheap cookie, but make sure that they're really great cookies. That's always a wonderful gift. Go Christmas caroling in your neighborhood or maybe into nursing homes. We have a lot of really good singers in here, and so you might think about maybe that as a gift that you can give to someone. Drive around to see the Christmas decorations that are on all the houses, but take someone with you and someone who couldn't go unless you were to take them with you. So we would be thinking about maybe someone who is shut in and can't go, but they love going around and looking at the lights. And there's some wonderful, beautiful places to look at in our area. In fact, you can get on Google or on some apps and say, what are some great Christmas light places to go? And they'll give you maps and tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can go to those things. But take someone with you. It's a wonderful time. Sponsor a child or a family that is in need. Most of us are doing fairly well, but there are those out there who are not doing so well. They don't have the money to buy gifts and all those things. Maybe you can think about, is there a family that is in need that maybe you can sacrifice one of your gifts to give to that family that is in need. Well, I'll put this one up here because I'm hoping for a white Christmas. But anyway, shovel sidewalks or driveways for neighbors or people who are in need. That might be something great. And so if that happens to happen and it does snow, then I'm sure that you can probably think of someone that maybe could use that kind of help. Hint, hint, hint. Visit residents in a nursing home and give Christmas cards to the residents, people who are in nursing homes. You'd be surprised when Lori's folks were in some of the assisted living homes. That's what they call them now, assisted living homes. You'd be surprised. They were amazed at how much Lori visited her mom because a lot of the people in there don't get visits, seldom. And so that sometimes is a great thing to do. pay it forward, drive through a drive-through lane. For instance, if you're going to Starbucks or Lucky Perks or whatever, and you buy a coffee, then say, here is an extra $5 or whatever for the person that is in back of me. I want to pay for their drink. And sometimes they'll have already taken that order, and they'll say, well, that's $10. And you'll say, okay, then I want to do that. You know, and so you might pay it forward, maybe even start something that's really good where you get those serendipities. Has that ever happened to any of you in here? That's happened to me a number of times, and it's a wonderful feeling of someone I don't know who just did that because of the goodness of their heart, letting their light shine. That's a good thing to do. Offer to babysit for a single mother and give her a gift certificate to go shopping or maybe to pamper herself somehow, maybe to get a facial or a pedicure or something like that is maybe special to a single mom that's just trying to make it, you know. Volunteer to help serve a holiday meal at a soup kitchen or a shelter. It's not hard to find those places in our valley here, and so you might do something like that. If you eat out during the holidays, give your server an outrageously large tip. Not a 10%, not a 15%, not a 20%, not a 25%, an outrageously large tip, even if they're a lousy server. And it might be that they're like that because they're just having a really, you know, this time of year, it's really tough. You know, they get lots of people that are coming in there, and there's a lots of rudeness that goes on. And so you know it's got to kind of affect them to some degree. And so give them a large gift that might really make their day. Be kind. Be the kind of person that you wish others would be to you. Be a gift to others. And then finally, why not smile and say Merry Christmas? That's not a hard thing to do. You go, Merry Christmas. Yeah. So we can do those kinds. So those are just really simple gifts. They're time gifts. They take time to do them, okay? Time, they take some effort, some energy, may take a little bit of money, but those are great ways to be a gift this year because of the great gift that God has given to us. Now, I know what some of you are saying is you're saying, well, listen, I don't have that to give. I don't have that kind of money. And so my suggestion to you is here are some ways that you might give that won't cost you, and that is, give what is in your hand. Give that which you already have in your possession. And there's a biblical precedence for this over in John, the 6th chapter. You remember in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus had fed the 5,000 or was teaching, and there were like 5,000 around, and Jesus said, it's getting along evening, and these people need to be fed. And you remember one of the disciples said to him, says, Lord, 200 denarii would not be enough to feed even a mouthful for these people here. It's not sufficient enough is the words that he used. 200 denarii was like 200 days' wages, okay? And he goes, there's so many people here, we can't do that. And so Jesus says, what do you have? Because he knows what he's going to do. He said, well, what do you have? And one of the disciples brings a young lad to him, and the young lad, he has 5 loaves of flatbread and 2 fish. And Jesus tells him, have the people sit down, and he multiplies the fish and the loaves. He takes that which is insufficient and does something absolutely amazing and marvelous. He took what was in a young lad's lunch bag or lunch plate, and that's what he's able to do something incredible as he met the needs of those who were around him. And so give something that is just in your hands. So what is already in your hands? Do you have a house? Do you have a house? Well, if you have a house, God wants you to use your house to serve others. One of the blessings that we have is Lori and I have a nice house. We love to have people in and over to our house. We love to have our care group over there and anyone else. You know, make your house a place of hospitality, a place of welcomeness. Do you have a spouse? Well, God wants you to take that spouse that you have and love them and become prayer partners with them and pray for each other and strengthen each other and be the kind of marriage that is an example to people. Do you have children? God wants you to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help them to be godly citizens, godly people who serve him and live their lives for him. Do you have an income? Then give the first fruits of your income to God in order that we might spread the gospel around. Even the widow only had a small mite, but she gave all that she had, and she's held up as the example for us. Do you have an income? Do you have a voice? Some of you have beautiful voices. Use your voices, not only to sing praises to God, but use your voice to be seasoned like grace and something that is wholesome that you can give to others who are maybe in a place in a time of need when they need to hear a good word, an encouraging word, a loving word to them. God wants you to use your voice. Do you have feet? God wants you to use your feet to go and spread the gospel and to share it with those who are around you? Do you have hands? God wants you to use your hands to be a servant, to serve others around you. Do you have talent? Use your talents to bless people and to bless God. Do you have skill? Use your skill. Steve Hill, now to look at that guy, you wouldn't think he had a skill in his body, right? That's not at all true. Steve is a wonderful, wonderful person. Yesterday they had a Christmas program here, and Steve, he gave to the people there like 80 wooden toys, from trains to little cars that come off, making the cars into a truck, to a ferry that had a bunch of cars on the ferry. I mean, he gave us a ton of those. He used his skill of woodworking or woodmaking, and he gave it to them to give to the children. Isn't that wonderful? That's using your skill. Do you have a sack lunch? Well, you get the idea. Use it. Be the gift. Be the gift. In a season of giving, the most precious gift, I'm telling you, the most precious gift that you can give to a person is yourself. That's what makes a great gift. When they know that you have given of yourself to them. Maybe it might be monetary. Maybe it might be a solution met. Maybe it might be, you know, a motive, but give. And you're going to give because of God's indescribable gift, because of His perfect gift, which finally leads me to the invitation, and that is, what is it that you need to give to God that would be the great? Give yourself to Him. Accept the gift that He's offered to you in Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then why not decide that you're going to change your life? The Bible would call that repentance, a different direction. Being able to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, as the risen Savior, that's a confession, then to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You can do that this morning. The application that I would encourage you to do is that be the gift to those who are around you. And do so while together we stand and while we sing.